Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is Dr. Marty McCary, who is a professor at Johns Hopkins University and a New York Times bestselling author. His book is called The Price We Pay, and it was the recipient of the 2020 Business Book of the Year Award. Doctor, thanks for being on this morning.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks, Greg.
You've created a lot of talk with this Wall Street Journal op-ed, which suggests that the United States would have the herd immunity by April. And I was particularly interested in the point that you make, which is that the experts need to level with us when it comes to this, and for some reason they don't want to.
Yeah, look, I do think herd immunity is not binary. It's not all or nothing. And the reality is it's already started to kick in. The more people who have had prior infection, the more natural immunity is out there. And I went through the studies that show it's far more common than we appreciate. The antibody tests have underestimated natural immunity. And I think things are pointing towards the end of April. Maybe it's going to be May. But is it okay to have a model with good news? I mean, the other models were off by, 500% in the wrong direction. And, then people just ignore it and move on. And, here I'm saying we're going to have a normal summer somehow. We're going to get there at some point in April or May. And it's like people are, wait a minute, what's happening?
Yeah. Well, you bring up that COVID cases have dropped 77% over the last 6 weeks. And not much is made of that. First of all, why would you guess that they dropped, and why would you guess that that's not great news that we're singing loudly every day?
Yeah. So these are the conversations I've had with the old guard medical establishment. And I spend about 90% of my time in public health research, and I talk to these folks. I like them, but what they've been discounting is natural immunity from prior infection. Activated T cells, even when you don't have the antibodies, people who felt great and never got tested, all those asymptomatic cases, people who fought like crazy to try to get tested and they just couldn't get into the system. Remember, that was a lot of the summer and the spring. So what's happening is, as a scientist, you have to look at a 77% reduction in daily cases over the last 6 weeks and ask why. That is a scientific method. And the reality is, vaccines haven't really kicked in. That wouldn't account for it. People didn't suddenly change their behavior and wear masks in January. And what's happening is you're seeing slowing, right? Herd immunity is not binary. It's not all or nothing. The more people who have natural immunity from prior infection, the less people who are susceptible, the more breaks in the transmission chain, making it harder for the virus to spread.
You guess at how many Americans, or educated guess at how many Americans have natural immunity right now, right? I think in the piece.
Yeah, so the number on the trackers is 28 million. And when the reporters read it off our Johns Hopkins website 50 times a day, people actually think it's the accurate number. It's not. It's just the number of people confirmed. A lot of people never got tested, or they got tested when they were asymptomatic and the tests were not as sensitive. So there's some extrapolation of that number to the general population. And we've generally thought 1 in 4 to 1 in 10 people are getting tested and test positive who had the infection. I estimated somewhere around 1 in 5, 1 in 6.5, something like that, which would mean about half the country has natural immunity from prior infection. Hmm.
Doctor, why are medical experts so dismissive of natural immunity? Is it because of a lack of data?
They have told me that there's no hard data on natural immunity. And I say, you know what? Forget about the old model that you have to have a randomized controlled trial in order to believe something. Let's look at scientific inference and deductive reasoning, aka common sense. Open your eyes. People have not been getting reinfected at high numbers. Reinfections have been extremely rare, less than 1%. And when they happen, they're often very mild, which means prior infection is protective. A study just came out of the UK, 6,600 healthcare workers who, you know, were around the virus all the time, and less than 1% developed a reinfection. When they happened, they were mild. So that's why the medical community and Dr. Fauci have been very dismissive of natural immunity from prior infection. And that's why when they say, you know, we're going to get to herd immunity by, say, July or December, they're basing it purely on vaccinated rates of immunity, not on natural immunity.
So, doctor, what about the variants? How do you factor that into your educated guess here?
Look, they're real, and they threaten to, you know, undo this prediction that we'll be in a good spot in May. But if you look at the countries where the variants are dominant, in the UK, cases are down 82%, more than from their peak than in the United States. Look at South Africa, where that strain is dominant. Cases are down 90%. Okay, now Brazil is a little more concerning. That's been a little more persistent, but we're not seeing a lot of that strain in the United States, and it's not projected to be dominant. So, look, I know there's guys, the old school guys like Dr. Osterholm, that are saying, you know, the variants pose the threat of a surge like we've never seen before. He just said that. We're not seeing that, okay? The tools that we have are effective against the new strains pretty well, right? The mitigation steps, the distancing masks, but also the vaccines prevent against mortality from those variants pretty well.
Does the natural immunity explain why there is virtually no difference in the case data between California, which was completely locked down, and Florida, which was the anything goes state and wide open?
You know, I don't know, but if you look at the trajectory of cases and mortality, they've been pretty similar. Adjusted for the older population, say in Florida, there's been not that much of a difference. And the reality is, if we can be honest about our mistakes as a medical establishment, when we told people to stay at home, we should have told them to get outside. When we told them to wash their hands like crazy, we should have told them to wear a mask. And when we said, let's close outdoor gatherings and beaches and schools, we should have told them to be careful and work on ventilation or being in the outdoor airspace.
So in hindsight, it was a mistake to tell everybody to huddle in their home alone and not work on getting this herd immunity.
Well, I think we were trying to figure things out. And I was one of those people in February running around the country, sounding the alarm, telling people to get ready. And the reality is that we didn't know what we were working with. We were watching rationing of ventilators at the doorsteps of Italian hospitals. We were hearing stories from Wuhan, and we thought, this is not contained. This is at large. We don't know what the case fatality rate is. We were hearing 1 to 10%. We thought we could lose, you know, a lot of our seniors in the United States from this. We didn't know what we were working with. But as the data comes in, we have to evolve our strategy, right? This is not a policy set in stone. These are strategies that we have to evolve. So that, you know, that's the approach we didn't take that we should have taken.
Doctor, why is there so much when you look at it? You talk about, you know, herd immunity and probably being back to normal by the, you know, summertime. And then you hear Fauci say we're probably going to wear a mask into 2022, is him and President Biden. Why is there so much inconsistency in the world of, like, doctors and science when it comes to this?
Well, to be honest with you, we spend $60 billion on laboratory stuff and not a dime on basic clinical research. We were spending billions on Warp Speed, and the NIH has $40 billion allocated each year. And we were trying to study basic clinical questions, and no one could get funding. Our system was incapable of adapting. Basic questions, how many people are asymptomatic? Do masks work? Those studies got done very late. Remember in the summer, FAU did the green gas studies where they're blowing through the mannequin masks? Why were those done in July? It's because our system is all about drugs and pills and pharma. And we should have had those studies earlier, and when we didn't, in that vacuum, opinions set in. As you know, we're a very opinionated country.
What would you say to, and there have been a few of them, to texters who say that the reason the cases have dropped is because we're not in the holiday season anymore?
Yeah, we've seen small bumps with the holidays, but nothing gigantic. Look at Memorial Day, the 4th of July, Labor Day, Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, you know, for all the talk about a surge on top of a surge, right? Where are those people now? All the people talking about the twindemic of the seasonal flu and the coronavirus colliding. Where are those people right now? And I think we could stand to show some humility around a virus we've not yet fully understood.
Ken, he's talking to you.
He is? Okay. I appreciate that.
All right. So in layman's terms, it's more than likely that there are way more individuals who have already had this, have the antibodies, have this natural herd immunity, and therefore, you know, towards the end of April or something, we should be at a point where we can say that this, you know, we're never going to eliminate it, but for all intents and purposes, it's gone.
Yeah, coronavirus will be with us for decades to come, as I write about in that Wall Street Journal piece on herd immunity. But we're going to be at very low levels, in my prediction, by the end of April or May. And summer is going to look normal. And it may look normal even going into that period. Most of the pandemic, we have been sort of scrambling at the last minute to figure out what to do, right? It's like, we got this data. Oh, my gosh, now what do we do? Let's not scramble. Let's plan. Let's start contingency planning. The country is starving. Businesses are on a lifeline. Kids are lonely. They're 10 times more likely to die of suicide than they are of coronavirus. We've got this insanity dominating the politics of school, ignoring the science. Let's start contingency planning. One of the greatest public health epidemics in our country before COVID was loneliness. It's now magnified. It's rampant among our seniors. We've got to rebuild the communities that allow for a personal touch to address that loneliness that affects your physiologic reserve.
Dr. McCary, you're at Johns Hopkins. I'm curious, the university's done an amazing job of tracking all of this. What work will go into understanding the magnitude of what you just discussed, the isolation and addiction and mental health issues that this pandemic response may have caused? When will we understand the full breadth of that?
Probably a year and a half from now. That's how the medical research world works, unfortunately. You know, we did the largest study of COVID risk factors to date last summer. It's still sitting at a medical journal. It's pathetic. They're still reviewing it. And it's like, what the hell are you guys doing? We're in a health emergency. And that's the way our broken medical establishment works. Unfortunately, if you look at Puerto Rico, when that hurricane ripped through there, the initial numbers were 14 people died, then 37, and then different numbers in the 40s. Well, a group of researchers from Harvard went down a year later and looked at the indirect causes of death. People, a person on dialysis who couldn't get to their dialysis center and died, it was 5,000 deaths. And I think that's what's going to happen here. History will look back and say, we tried so hard to prevent every single transmission, and what we did is created a public health epidemic of suicide, loneliness, abuse, deferred medical care, and we couldn't see the forest from the trees. We were penny wise, pound foolish.
You know, it's so interesting. You must hear this from time to time, but there are some that are texting in and suggesting that, you know, I guess in it must be when it comes to this kind of thing, you have to, in order to have an opinion, you have to be an epidemiologist or you have to be Dr. Fauci. What do you say to people who look at you and say, well, you know, your opinion is different from the mainstream opinion, so therefore it must be wrong?
Yeah, it's funny watching the blame game, right? You're not a virologist. You're just an epidemiologist, or you're not a clinical doctor, or you're not an infectious diseases specialist. And there's all this kind of stuff. Now, I'm a public health researcher, spend most of my time in public policy research. But you know what? For all the naysayers out there, where were they in February when I was running around the country begging the NCAA to wait, begging South by Southwest and Austin to cancel, begging organizations to switch to essential travel only, begging for a bigger travel ban? Where were they? The medical establishment was silent. Okay. And then when I wrote the first piece in the United States calling for universal masking in the New York Times, where were they? They were saying, oh, we don't have enough data and all this stuff. And then when I said, look, we need to focus on first doses of the vaccine and delay the second dose to save more lives, guess what? Research comes out this week showing the incredible effectiveness of the first dose in the short term, showing that we should delay the second dose. So I'm used to challenging the establishment. I have great relationships throughout the field. I'm in the National Academy of Medicine. I enjoy my colleagues there. But we've got to push the field because our system was completely unprepared and unadaptable to this problem. And it's going to happen again. It may not be a viral epidemic. We may need ventilators and domestic drug manufacturing and PPE for a hurricane or a flood or a mass shooting. We've got to have a more resilient healthcare system that prioritizes swing expansion capacity and not just making a dollar with just-in-time throughput.
Doc, I think one of the biggest questions that the general public we have is, should we get the vaccine, and would you recommend people get it? And is this something that now people are going to have to get every single year?
I would recommend everyone get the vaccine unless you've had the infection in the past. If you have, I would say get to the back of the line or just do one dose. If you know for a fact you've had COVID in the past, everyone should get the vaccine. We should have a simple age-based allocation to go down. That's what the UK did. That's why Israel's already at herd immunity levels. We're going to get there. The good news is, 17% of the adult U.S. population is now vaccinated, adding to the natural immunity, moving us further towards herd immunity in April or May and a normal summer. I think we're going to have an adjustment probably in September for what might be the fall strain like we do with flu. But this is a more stable virus than influenza, and it may not be annual. It may be every couple of years. We'll have to follow. People ask me all the time, what's the fall going to look like with COVID? It could look like what's usually a bad flu season. And I think we're just going to have to track the variants in the southern hemisphere over the summer where it's winter and see what strains are dominant, which one's the risk, and give a modified adjusted vaccine in September.
Before you go, do you have a guess as to why back on January 10th, the CDC changed the cycles on the PCR tests from 45 to 32?
I don't know. I know there's a lot of discussion about that. I don't know. I think that they're trying to be a little more precise, but I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Well, it's been very enlightening having you on this morning, and I hope that we can reach out again and chat more with you, Doctor.
Okay, great to be with you guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.